Driver, we're clear.
Friends, and welcome to this week's Hoppin' episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans are excited about Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably be all ears for The Florida Project.
That was a lot.
Yep. I'm Jason. Across the table from me in his spring best, he has a little plaid vest on and a bow tie. Is Will.
What am I, a VIP host?
No, you're a small child. Oh.
But isn't that what the VIP tour people wear?
I don't think they wear bow ties.
Oh, they should.
But maybe they do. I don't know.
They should. Yeah. Bow ties are classy.
And next to Will, dressed as the Easter Bunny, is Michael.
I'm going by Thumper today.
If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, and hang out with us on our Patreon-exclusive Slack channel, become one of our Patreon Saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. All of our Patreon Saints get access to two additional shows, TFP Extra,
Extra,
and Disney Classics. Each week on TFP Extra,
Extra,
we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney-related. On the monthly Disney Classics series, we watch and discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then, in honor of Easter being either today or last week or some time ago or coming up, depending on when you listen to it, we will take a look at Easter eggs at Walt Disney World. Not the kind the bunny lays, but rather those unexpected secrets throughout the resort. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
Small
topics. All right. In our Easter related small topics, small topic number one. What is the worst thing you could find inside an Easter egg? I'm going to go with severed thumb.
Ew.
Yeah.
You're going to expound on that? How would that happen? It's not like we're in McDonald's and somebody chops off a thumb and actually gets into the fries.
No, I think this would be like,
who puts it in the egg? Closes the egg back up.
Well, so whoever's on the committee, that the egg committee, the neighborhood egg hunt committee,
sure.
That's when we find out one of our neighbors might be a serial killer. Because it's like
they want to be called,
and that's their calling card,
and that's their calling card.
Okay,
severed thumb.
I'm gonna go a little more lighthearted.
Okay,
one of those peanut butter eggs, those Reese's ones.
Oh, boo.
Because I don't like peanut butter, and that would just be a waste on me. I mean,
but you can give it to me.
Yeah, but what am I getting? Your thumb? You want to trade?
No, I'll trade you some fruity candy.
In fact, the police are here anyway, so I think the hunt's over at this point.
I don't know. We spent all that time putting those eggs in. Michael?
It's hard to beat severed thumb and Reese's egg, but I'm going to go with a pocket universe where humans are hatched by egg.
Oh.
Okay. That would be disturbing.
Might be something.
Or a black hole and it sucks everything in when you open the egg.
Okay. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Yikes.
Not the black hole. A black hole.
A black hole. All right.
Not a DVD of the black hole.
Right.
As everyone knows, Easter is the official start of ice cream season.
What?
That's a common thing that is real and happens and everybody knows it.
I guess it is getting warmer.
What is your favorite non-Neapolitan ice cream flavor?
Is someone's favorite flavor Neapolitan?
No, I'm saying it can't be chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry.
Oh, okay.
Bummer, because chocolate's my favorite.
Too bad.
Too bad. You have to pick something else. Mine is sherbet.
That's not ice cream.
Yeah, it is.
No, sherbet.
Yeah, that's true. But
try again.
Orange sherbet.
No, that's not ice cream. See, I can't use strawberry, which is my favorite ice cream.
Can I use Dutch chocolate?
You can use chocolate if you want.
Okay.
Fine, I'm using strawberry.
You can't.
Man, rats.
All right, I'll use banana.
What?
Banana.
I've never had that. Banana pudding ice cream?
When I worked at Cold Stone, they had a banana pudding. It was really good because I mixed it with a chocolate ice cream, and it would be like a chocolate banana.
Oh. Mm.
Much better than those frozen bananas at Disney.
Yeah,
my dad used to make banana pudding ice cream with Nilla wafers in it for family reunions.
I guess mine will be cookies and cream then.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because that and strawberry makes a good sundae.
Yeah. Like a strawberry cookie.
Mm-hmm. With some chocolate sauce and some whipped cream. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I wanted a banana split tonight, speaking of ice cream, but instead I got three donuts.
Yep.
Okay.
I got rainbow sherbet. I guess I would go with probably chocolate chip cookie dough. No, actually, a strawberry cheesecake ice cream. It's so interesting.
Because vanilla is actually your favorite. Oh, the three of us make up Neapolitan ice cream.
Vanilla is actually my favorite.
That's funny.
We would be good Neapolitan ice cream buddies.
Yeah, we should get shirts made.
How would that go?
I don't know. It would just be the color of that ice cream. And when we stand next to each other, it looks like we're like a slice of Neapolitan ice cream.
Snag a res of this. I don't know.
Would we need to get shirts made, or could we just...
Why can't we just buy the ice cream and eat it?
Well, or just buy shirts that are in those colors.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
All right. One's got to go egg hunts, trick-or-treating, or Christmas cookies.
Christmas cookies.
Really?
Like, not even thinking about it. Wow. Like that fast.
Wow.
And I don't dislike them. They're fine.
Sounds like you do.
They're not great.
Mine are great.
They're fine.
Do you want some? I got some in the freezer right now.
They're not as good as the pure joy that children have with trick-or-treating or Easter egg hunts.
I guess. All right, Michael?
I was going to go with trick-or-treating, but I wanted to keep the children getting dressed up.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's stupid where they come to the door and say trick-or-treat, because you're not going to be like, I'm not going to give you a treat, I'm going to give you a trick instead, and I'll go run around the yard or something.
You could.
But no one's going
to
do that.
How would you lure the children that are dressed up to your door?
I'm not going to lure any children.
Well, how are you going to see them?
Where are they going to go if they're all dressed up?
Yeah.
They can still go to door to door. I just
do
don't
what?
Like, they just don't have to say trick or treat.
Oh, they still get candy?
Yeah.
No, they got to say trick or treat.
No, you're skirting the rules here.
Fine.
You're saying what's got to go is the phrase trick or treat.
Yeah.
When asking for candy.
It's disingenuous at best.
You know what?
Okay. Treat, please.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Treat.
And they have to say please. If they don't say please, they don't get any candy.
So that's treating.
Yeah.
Nicely.
All right, but that's not a valid answer.
All right, I'm still going to go with trick-or-treating because I think
egg of my original answer.
Egg hunts are fun because it's like, I don't know, it's like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And I like Christmas cookies. So one's for the kids and one's for me.
I would get rid of egg hunts. Mainly because, being an uncle, I've had to stuff and hide a billion eggs over the years.
I love doing that.
And I hate it.
I would rather do that than answer the door for a trick-or-treater.
Really? I would rather answer the door for a trick-or-treater.
I love answering the door for trick-or-treaters.
I'm so awkward.
Oh my God, look, it's the Mandalorian and a princess.
I never know what to say.
It's fun.
Here you go, kids.
Easter eggs.
Can I have more than one? Take a handful. I don't care.
You've hidden them all in the good spots, and now you're like, well, I got 50 more, so you just start throwing them in the yard.
No, you find clever ways.
You've got, there are only so many clever spots.
Well, you can dig holes.
What?
You dig a little hole.
But then you got to wait for them to find them all.
Then you can put those Christmas cookies in there, because they're always overrated. It's too much. It's too sweet.
No.
You can eat like one of them. Tops.
I make a great Christmas cookie.
I didn't say it's not great. But it's overrated.
How dare you?
Mm.
And that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those are some excellent small topics. News. Here are four news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World. Number one, more information released for the Connections Cafe and Eatery at Epcot. The Connections Cafe and Eatery, located in Epcot's World Celebration, where the Electra Umbrella used to be located, is on the verge of opening. Connections will comprise of a quick service restaurant as well as the new home of the park's Starbucks, which is designed to fit in with the theming of the area. While no exact opening date has yet been announced, at least by the time we record this, it is expected to open prior to Memorial Day weekend. Disney Imagineer Zach Ridley shares that, quote, the gardens and greenery within the World Celebration will complement the interiors, and that show kitchens will provide a culinary experience for our guests within. Additionally, he states that Connections Cafe and Eatery was inspired by the core Epcot ideas of connecting, by the common bond we share over food and the gathering of people across cultures, end quote. And the location will be complete with nods to the history of Epcot. Ridley continues, adding to the park's rich legacy of original art displays, our team produced a hand-painted mural that stretches over 160 feet along the back wall of Connections Eatery. The original piece, titled Global Gathering, is a celebration of various food and beverage staples from around the world and how we are all connected by enjoying a meal together. The piece also evolves from sunrise in the east to sunset in the west across the full span of the eatery, culminating in one of the largest art installations Imagineers have created, end quote. Ridley shares that the spirit of Walt's vision for Epcot, that Walt Disney World and Epcot would be a place where the power of possibility would inspire the world, has lived on. He notes that Imagineers drew inspiration from Walt's Florida Project master plan for the flooring inlay at Connections Eatery. I saw a picture of it. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
It looks like that map.
So are they getting rid of the Starbucks going into the World Showcase, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Oh, that's sad. That's a nice little location.
Well, it'll be a new location for merch.
Or snacks.
Or booth of some sort.
Maybe croissant donuts.
Maybe croissant
Probably donuts.
Not. Probably popcorn bucket distribution.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Well, as mentioned, guests will get to see the chefs in action as they make final touches on some sweet treats or craft the perfect pizza dough. The lunch and dinner menus have been released. Look for dishes inspired by global flavors, including a selection of sandwiches such as French bistro burger, a Mediterranean burger, and a banh mi burger. Salads will include a Niçoise-style salad and General Tso chicken salad. Expect a meatball pizza and even a curry spice pizza, in addition to pepperoni. Classic chicken nuggets and cheeseburgers will be up for grabs on the kids' menu as well. The spot will feature Liege waffles as an option made with brioche yeast dough stuffed with pearl sugar and finished with sweet toppings. There will also be milkshakes, non-alcoholic beverages, wines, and draft beers.
I also read that as pepperoni classic chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm on board.
I was like, give it a try.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. It looks so airy and open. And what I could see through the window when we were there last weekend looks really cool.
Have they released any pictures or anything of it yet?
Yeah.
I bet those are nice.
Yeah, you should check them out.
I will.
Have they? Yes. Oh, that sounds nice.
Number two, Walt Disney World getting into affordable housing development. So Disney has announced plans to earmark nearly 80 acres of land to bring affordable housing just outside of Walt Disney World, located by the new and expanding Flamingo Crossing Town Center retail and dining complex. This new development, which is still in the early planning stages and subject to appropriate approvals, is expected to include more than 1,300 units and will be constructed by a third-party affordable housing developer. The development will offer residents a variety of home choices that are affordable and attainable, located in close proximity to schools and the new and expanding Flamingo Crossing Town Center retail and dining complex. It will offer a variety of amenities to foster a strong community. Known for building industry-leading theme parks and resort hotels around the world, Disney will engage the developer to bring the same innovation, expertise, and attention to detail to this initiative. The development will be available for qualifying applicants from the general public, including Disney cast members. And Disney says, quote, we are invested in working together with our community to solve complex issues, said Jeff Vail, president of Walt Disney World Resort. The lack of affordable housing is affecting many people across our country, including right here in Central Florida. With this initiative, we're lending a hand to make a real and meaningful impact in our community by tapping into the best of our company's strengths. This is the right opportunity and the right time to take action, end quote.
I hadn't heard that. That's really neat. I like that. I am a fan.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of funny because like a month or two ago, they announced they're going to build that. The
fancy houses.
The fancy houses, yeah. And now they're going to do some affordable ones too. So that's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. We need more affordable housing.
Yeah. We need less Golden Oaks and more Flamingo Crossings.
Yep.
That's a t-shirt.
That is a t-shirt.
It won't be a well-selling t-shirt, but...
Douglasville, the New Hamptons. Mm-hmm.
Niche.
Number three, two new solar arrays coming to Walt Disney World. So picture what's possible when 40% of the energy supplied to the most magical place on Earth is generated by the sun. Feel the flow? Here we go. It's the universe of energy.
What?
Feel it grow, see it glow. It's the universe of energy?
Yeah.
That's the second line.
Guardians of the Galaxy forever.
Disney Parks blog says, quote, just in time to celebrate Earth Month, Walt Disney World Resort's available solar energy resources will more than double with two new solar arrays constructed by two prominent solar development companies. As the most recent examples of Disney's commitment to taking action to change our planet's story, these new arrays will reduce our carbon footprint and help power even more magic in our theme parks, resorts, and beyond. The two new 75 megawatt arrays will be located in Gilchrist County and Polk County on over 1,000 total acres, enabling them to harness the sun's power without depending on the sunny skies in solely one area. With this expansion, Disney will become one of the largest commercial consumers of solar in the state. More importantly, it will join the numerous steps we are taking to deliver on our 2030 goal of achieving net zero emissions. Both arrays are expected to be online by early 2023. And continuing our longstanding history of protecting the planet, combined, they will introduce nearly a 500,000 solar panels capable of producing over 375,000 megawatt hours of carbon-free solar energy in their first full year of operation. This is equivalent of removing 29,500 automobiles from the roads every year, end quote. Energy, you are profound. You make the world. Universe of energy.
That is, I got it. That is also neat. Are they going to be arranged in like a Goofy or a Donald?
I don't think so because they're not going to be on the resort. Like they're
boo.
They're far away. So in case it's stormy,
it would be nice to have another Easter egg to see from Google Earth.
It would.
Well, we can't go back in time to change their plans because 100 or 1,000 milliwatts is not even close to the 1.21 gigawatts that you need.
Gigawatts. 1.21 gigawatts, wasn't it? Oh, man, it's been too long since I've seen Back to the Future.
Well, either way.
Either way, I got you. But now I'm doubting myself what it is. 1.21 gigawatts. It's gigawatts.
I think it's gigawatts.
Man.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
Well, you can dance a jig with number four because new live entertainment is coming to the American Adventure at Epcot. Carol Stein, the legendary Walt Disney World pianist, is now playing at the American Adventure Pavilion in Epcot's World Showcase. Specifically, she is performing as part of the Soul of Jazz and American Adventure exhibit within the pavilion. During her sets, Carol shares some background of jazz music, tying into the exhibit and making her performance relevant to the location. Show times are currently 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, and 4:30 p.m. daily.
She doesn't have much of a break.
Doc does pronounce it as gigawatts.
Thank you.
But it's still gigawatts.
Okay. It's GIF and JIF all over again. But it's GIF.
And before we go down that rabbit hole, that is it for news.
Yeah. Rabbit hole, because Easter eggs. That was some good news, Michael.
That's fun. Yeah. Follow the white rabbit.
Tweet. This week on Main Tweet USA, Disney Cultural Exchange Program returns to Walt Disney World this summer. In addition to the return of the Disney Cultural Representative Program, which we've discussed before, Disney Programs has announced that the Disney Cultural Exchange Program will return to Walt Disney World this summer. Candidates are required to attend an in-person or virtual presentation and interview in one of the following countries: Canada, France, Italy, Germany, Norway, or the United Kingdom. Essentially, the difference between the Cultural Representative Program, the CRP, and the Cultural Exchange Program, the CEP, is that the CRP is limited to an area of your nationality. For example, if you're from the United Kingdom, you'll be working in the United Kingdom Pavilion at Epcot in the CRP. On the other hand, if you're in the CEP, you might be from Mexico and work as a lifeguard. The CRP is essentially a tool for Disney to create authentic spaces and experiences within their theme parks by utilizing cast members with cultural backgrounds that match the theme of an area. And I never knew there was a difference between
these. Yeah, neither.
I didn't either, but I'm glad they're letting people from other countries work at other things besides World Showcase.
Yes.
Because otherwise...
I guess they always have.
I know. We just didn't know.
Yeah, we just didn't know it was a different program. I'm sure somebody knew it was a different program. We at this table didn't.
No, I had no idea until I read that second paragraph earlier today.
Yeah.
So good.
That's cool.
Again, a more return to normalcy around World Showcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know why, but that example. The lifeguard thing.
Yeah, it got after you.
That was...
It tickled you.
That tickled me.
It almost seemed awful for a second, but
yeah.
Not.
Like, you might be from Mexico and work as a lifeguard. Yeah, it's a... It feels like it's a stereotype, but it's not.
You might be from Sweden and work in the gift shop at Animal Kingdom. I don't know. But anyway, I think it's neat. I'm glad they're doing it. And we learned something today, everybody.
We did.
Also, quickly, we learned today that Disneyland will not use Lightning Lane for character meet and greets, and as was potentially expected. As the Disneyland Resort prepares to welcome back non-distance character meet and greets next week as we record, it's been revealed that guests using Disney Genie Plus won't be able to book reservations using the service, according to the Orange County Register's Brady McDonald. The news comes as a break from what Walt Disney World has done with the service. Currently, guests can book from select meet and greets, including with Mickey Mouse at the Town Square Theater and with various Disney princesses at Princess Fairytale Hall, both in the Magic Kingdom. This doesn't affect the current Disney Genie Plus offerings, which grants Lightning Lane access for select attractions at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. And as I was, I perused into the comments, this apparently people were just expecting this might change at Disneyland after things opened again. But Disneyland is different. They kind of have more of a roaming character, like atmosphere anyway.
Yeah. And less people overall.
Yeah. So. No changes at Disneyland, folks.
I'm sure those sticklers in Orange County will be happy about that.
Yeah, like Brady McDonald.
Yeah, Brady.
Oh, he just reported the news. I don't know.
He's probably in Orange County.
Yeah, I would
assume. Or maybe lives around there. He may not be able
to afford. Could be from Orange County, New York. I don't know where this came from.
He could be from Mexico and writing for the Orange County.
I tell you, there's not much affordable housing in Orange County.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
What about Orange County, New York?
I don't even believe that's a thing.
No, that's where the Orange County Choppers are from.
There's an
Who
Orange?
Are the Choppers?
The motorcycles. There was it was American Chopper was the name of the show.
Yeah.
But they worked at Orange County Choppers in New York. Hmm.
There's an Orange County in Florida.
There is.
And I feel like we've digressed.
I think that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a great trip down Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is Easter eggs at Walt Disney World.
It sounds ridiculous. It does. I don't know why.
Yep.
Imagineers have done a great job with the details throughout Walt Disney World, but they also have done a great job hiding Easter eggs, hidden Mickeys, and other secrets as well. This week, we'll focus less on the numerous hidden Mickeys and instead focus on these Easter eggs and other secrets. Most of these are probably already known to the super fans, but it's a fun topic nonetheless. We've created a list from our own experiences, as well as those documented by other Disney sites on the internet, such as allears.net, disneyfoodblog.com, disneytouristblog.com, thefirstdrop.net, orlandoparkstop.com, and nerdtravelpro.com.
Oh, I like that one. I haven't heard of most of those websites, actually.
Yeah.
All right. And I haven't read this list either, so continue.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Enlighten me.
I think we're going to go around.
Rats.
We'll take them in turns.
Okay. But my eyes. I haven't been to the eye doctor for that.
Well, you were just bragging about your
I know.
Your vision.
Yeah, I know. I was bragging about my
vision.
You were
bragging about
it. In your one vision. Eye, I'm perfect, yo.
I'm going to get that laser surgery.
I could be a pirate.
Aye.
Was the last week when we were talking about pirates? Or did we talk about pirates? Why they wear patches?
I don't remember that. But
they wear them so that when they go below decks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. What was I having this conversation?
That's weird.
And so they can see. It's like if you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
If you cover one of your eyes when you turn on the lights and use the bathroom, and then you turn off the lights and open your covered eye, you don't lose your night vision.
It's a game changer. And I learned that.
Yeah.
I've adapted it to just doing it in the dark.
Yeah. I just pee on the floor.
Deal with it in the morning.
Catheter. Yeah. All the way.
I'm so old, I can't remember who I was having this conversation about eye patches.
All right. So we'll start in the Magic Kingdom.
Yay.
The first one is inside Sir Mickey's gift shop in Fantasyland. You'll find one of the biggest Easter eggs at Magic Kingdom. From the window bursting beanstalk visible from the outside, it's clear to see where the inspiration from the theming came from. The shop is based around 1947's Mickey and the Beanstalk. Those familiar with the classic tale will be aware that Mickey is being stalked by a giant known as Willie. Throughout
his name's
the shop.
Willie?
Huh?
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
One eyed Willie.
No, it's not that one.
Oh, it's a different one.
It has two eyes.
Throughout the shop, there are references to this story, but the one that goes under the radar is Willie himself. If you look up, you'll notice that Willie is actually lifting the roof of the store trying to find Mickey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never seen that.
Yeah, Michael showed me a picture of it and it's cool.
Yeah, it's weird that I've never noticed that considering how large it is.
I have a theory. It's like my dinosaur thing. It's above the bill of the cap.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like, you just don't look around at the theming in shops that much.
And
like,
we should.
We did, when we did the, that pin scavenger hunt thing, but that was really the first time that I've ever like taken a minute to be like, oh, look, there's some cool stuff in here. That isn't, you know, a t-shirt. That
yeah,
says,
like the Splash Mountain shop. I'd never looked around in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh. It's one of those things. Like, it's great because there's, like, when I was sitting, and I hope I don't, like, talk over anything. If this is one later, yeah. Okay. But no, like, the theming of Restaurantosaurus. I'm just sitting in there eating, and I go, this is way nicer than the chicken fingers I'm eating in here, you know? Like, the food was meh, but the theming was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and we need to sit and notice it more, you know?
Yeah, a lot of the quick service places are like that.
Yeah.
Like, Pizzafari.
Yeah.
Like, the food may not be spectacular, but it has some really cool theming in each room.
Who's next? Will?
Got
take,
it.
Take number two. Will, you're up.
In Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress, there are quite a few Easter eggs, especially in the last scene, including Mickey Mouse salt and pepper shakers in the kitchen, a Mickey Mouse plush near the Christmas tree, and a Mickey nutcracker on the mantle. But there's another, if you look closely at the bulletin board behind Sarah's computer, you'll spot some notes there. There's one that says, quote, Marty called, wants changes.
It's your kids, Marty.
This is a reference to Imagineer Marty Sklar, who worked for the Disney company in various roles for many years, starting way back in 1955. Oh my gosh, it's all coming
it
together.
Is.
Sklar served as president and vice chairman of Imagineering from 1987 through 1996.
Isn't 87 when the Back to the Future was?
1985.
87 was the sequel.
No,
89.
Yeah.
99.
Okay. During this time, the Carousel of Progress received a major refurbishment, reopening in 1994.
That's cool.
That is neat. How could you see that? I mean, I know we were talking about eyesight.
I think you have to
everything.
Zoom in with like a camera or, something, or your phone. I always notice the Mickey Nutcracker. My eye always goes right to it on the mantle.
Should pay attention.
Yeah.
Don't be looking at bulletin boards.
Over at Casey Jr.'s Splash and Soak Station in the Storybook Circus area of Fantasyland, if you take a close look at the colorful train cars in the area, you'll see some numbers on the backs of them. There's a 71, an 82, an 89, and a 98.
I know what those are.
You know what they are?
I'm real smart.
I know what they are.
These correspond to the years that each of the four Walt Disney World theme parks opened.
That's neat.
No, I think those are the years that they traveled to in Back to the Future.
1955, 2015, 1885?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job, Will.
And 1985. They kept going back
there. Yeah. And different 1985s, too.
Biff. Biff's Pleasure Palace.
That's so wrong.
All right. This is one of the more popular Easter eggs at the Magic Kingdom, with the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh attraction, which replaced Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. A few references to Mr. Toad appear in the current attraction. In Al's house near the beginning, if you look to the left, you can find a portrait of Mr. Toad, quite literally handing over the deed of the spot to Owl, a symbolic passing of the torch.
With a knife in his back, making him do it.
Mm-hmm. Another one.
Or you'll go to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Same. We know where it is.
Well, I mean, when we watched that Winnie the Pooh movie where, who was it?
Tigger.
No.
Owl.
They stole Piglet's house and gave it to somebody else, like right out from under him.
Man.
Yeah.
Eminent domain.
They're messed up.
That's what they do in the 100-acre wood.
Another one that may not be as well known is if you look to the right before the end of that same room, you'll also find a photo on the ground of Mole, another character for Mr. Toad Wild Ride, tipping his hat to Pooh. There's also a bonus carving of the Nautilus ride vehicle to the original 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea attraction inside the tree at the entrance to the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the Queue.
I've never gone inside the tree.
Me either. I think we're too old.
Yeah. I want to go inside, but I feel like there'll be germs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of germs.
But there'll also be a Nautilus.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We could send a drone in.
We could. I'm not sure you're allowed to bring drones into the Magic Kingdom.
Bring a small one.
Okay. For many years, the area that now forms part of Fantasyland was the original 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea attraction. Although the 20,000 Leagues attraction is now gone, part of the queue for Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, pays reference to this former attraction. If you look closely in the queue, you'll find the shape of the Nautilus, the ride's vehicle from the original attraction, embedded in the rock wall.
Huh.
So they just stole it from the tree.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, I never saw this, but I saw a picture of it, and yeah, it's there.
And they also dumped where some of the water.
Like, where in the queue, do you know?
It's like before you go inside. I don't know like specifically which like turn back, but.
But like the outside part?
Yeah.
Huh. It's in the queue.
I'll have to look.
When they opened the attraction, they also poured some water into the fountain from the original.
They did.
They said it was. Well, I mean, come on. It's probably out of the water fountain.
Also, wasn't 20,000 Leagues drained for like years?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Before it was demolished.
It was sitting there unused for the longest time, yeah. Right?
I feel like it was drained, but maybe it wasn't.
I don't know.
Gosh, if they kept that water, it stank.
It didn't.
Maybe they just filled it in a little bit and then got that water.
Well, you were there when it was there, but not probably.
I don't remember it.
Well,
I don't remember.
It just looked like water.
I don't think I ever went over there.
Okay.
It was very colorful until it turned cloudy. All right. Well, you've heard of Hidden Mickeys. But there is a hidden Donald in the hallway scene on the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
If you look at the face in the chair at the end of the hallway, you'll notice it is the shape of Donald Duck's head. It's hard to see at first, but the shape of the chair's head represents or resembles the shape of Donald's sailor hat, while the brow looks like the brim of the hat. The smile and nose resemble Donald's duck bill, with the lines around the eyes resembling the shape of Donald's head.
Huh.
Chair at the end. Is this the... Hot and cold running chills.
Yeah. There's like that wingback chair there. Yeah. I guess it's a wingback.
I certainly have never noticed this.
Yeah. Look up a picture. You'll
see
it. Is
there somebody in it or is it like a carving?
No, it's just the chair. I think it's like the fabric on
wait,
the chair.
Wait, you guys don't see that person sitting in it every time you go through there? I'm looking it up right now.
Also in the Haunted Mansion, if you look at the ghostly animatronic in the rocking chair during the ballroom scene, you'll notice she looks a little familiar. This is the exact same animatronic of the grandma in the rocking chair used in the Carousel of Progress.
I'll be darned, it does look like Donald.
No privacy.
The Donald chair thing is hard to pick up. I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
You got to be really looking for
it. But if you're looking for it, you can see it. Also, and probably most popularly, there was a gilded statue of J. Thaddeus Toad Esquire, better known as Mr. Toad, which appears in the grassy cemetery outside the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Seen that one.
Seen it.
And in a section of the queue line for the Haunted Mansion, you may come across what appears to be a ring in the cement. There are several stories behind this. The most popular legend is that the bride-to-be threw her wedding ring off the balcony after she murdered her husband. In reality, this was originally a piece of leftover metal from a former gate in the line. When Disney refurbished the line to include interactive elements in 2011, they added a real engagement ring into the cement.
Huh. Do you think it was just left at Lost and Found?
Yes.
Probably. Or like somebody who goes in and proposes in front of the castle, but they say no.
They just throw that ring.
Yeah. They collect the rings.
The rest of that day has to be very awkward.
Yeah.
You should do that at the end of the day.
Michael.
That's an example of doing the Magic Kingdom the wrong way.
Yeah.
Over at the Seven Dwarves Mine Train, the interactive queue has some fun interactive elements. Though I'm not sure if they're currently active due to the pandemic. One of these is a cool effect where guests spin some barrels full of gems and the seven dwarves appear projected on the ceiling.
I've seen that one too.
This part isn't a secret on its own, but if you turn all the barrels at the same time, once all the seven dwarves are revealed, Snow White will appear and dance.
Ooh.
This one is more difficult to reproduce as it takes teamwork with a bunch of guests. So you have to, and you have to, like, somebody has to know about it to get everybody to do it. We've been there a few times when we've gotten it working.
As I understand it, teamwork makes the dream work.
It does.
Yep. Or makes Snow White dance.
That's also the part of the queue where the kid threw up on my leg.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a segue for that one. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad's interactive queue features an enhanced story, including that of the proprietor of Big Thunder Mountain, Big Thunder Mining, Barnabas T. Bullion. You'll see his portrait in the queue, and that face might look familiar to fans of Disney Imagineering. Barney is actually based on Tony Baxter, the famous Imagineer who helped to design Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
All right, Michael, I've changed my mind. Let's have a kid and name him Barnabas T. Bullion. Or her.
No.
Or a dog. I mean, it's a good name.
Barnabas is a good dog name.
Barnabas T. Bulldog.
No. We'll adopt like a one that's like 17 and three quarters.
No. Within the queue for Pirates of the Caribbean, you can peer down into an abandoned prison cell holding two now deceased pirates playing chess. Their chess pieces are actually set in a stalemate to signify that they are stuck in the game for all of eternity.
Ooh, I like that one. That's neat.
I think that's still there.
Do you think they were stricken dead or by like a fog, like a murderous fog? Or do you think they were there so long that they starved to death?
I think it was...
I think they're just really serious chess players. And
I think they were cursed by Aztec gold and then they solved the curse, but they died afterwards.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll never know.
Or maybe that'll be the plot for the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Or Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. That too.
All right. This one is short and unremarkable, just like the place that it references.
It's not short, nor is it... Okay, it is unremarkable. It's remarkable by how bad it is.
At everyone's favorite restaurant, Tony's Town Square, where they will take 30 people and sit them all down at one time.
Apparently.
If you go talk to the maitre d' in the morning. Probably the most disappointed I've ever been in a Slack conversation was one of the Patreon saints, and I won't say who it is just in case. I don't know.
Privacy concerns.
Privacy concerns.
No privacy.
No privacy. She was with a big group of like 30 people, and they had 10 to 15 different reservations overlapping over the course of 2 hours at Tony's Town Square. And the person who was organizing wanted to have everybody sit down at the same time and eat at the same time. So, you know, Patreon folks, this particular Patreon, we were all like, there's no way that's going to happen. But the leader of the group was going to talk to the maitre d' in the morning of Tony's Town Square.
Tony himself.
Yes. And guess what? Disney did it.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm surprised either.
We should have thought about that for two reasons. One is Disney, and they'll try to work with you.
Yeah.
Two, there's nobody there.
Yeah, it's true. They probably could move some
stuff. They always have reservations.
Yep.
I want to eat there just so I can say I did.
You should have reservations about eating there, Michael. Thank you.
But anyway, once you're done and you get sick outside, if you look at the cement, you'll see the paw prints and a heart from Lady and the Tramp.
That is literally the best thing about the restaurant.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's themed for Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. The name's fine.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's not great.
It is. And it's not that hard. Like, looking at you, Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Like, I've had good meals there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not difficult.
No.
Okay. In Splash Mountain, at the end of the Laughing Place scene, a gopher comes down from the ceiling. Most guests assume he's sneezing or maybe even saying an expletive. I've never assumed that. But he's actually saying FSU for Florida State University. One of the Imagineers working on the project went to FSU, and that's his tribute. Note that this effect isn't always working. I've literally never noticed this in my entire life.
I've noticed the gopher, but I don't remember him saying anything.
Okay. Yeah, me neither.
That seems made up.
I don't think so.
Everything's made up.
Yeah, that one maybe. That one does seem like a wishful thinking a little bit.
I mean, I would totally do it for Georgia Tech, but that's just me.
When he's like about to go into the, don't throw me into the briar patch, he also says, go Jackets.
Yeah, he does. He would if I were working on it.
People think he's saying don't throw me into the briar patch, but he's actually saying don't go Jackets into the briar patch.
Well, this one is more of a fun fact, but in Liberty Square, the window shutters here are all crooked, but it's not shoddy workmanship on Disney's part. It's actually added authenticity, since in that era, leather was used to hold shutters, causing them to hang unevenly. The shutters in Liberty Square are actually fastened with metal that's made to look like leather.
Mm, neat. Nice. There's a lot of stuff in Liberty Square that's neat like that.
Yeah.
I just thought that's how they did that kind of stuff.
I just thought that's how they did shutters back then. I didn't realize.
Yeah. The poop streets.
Yeah.
The poop streets. Yeah. The no bathroom.
Yeah.
In the fish house.
Yeah.
Technically.
Sort of, technically. Yeah. It's neat. I like Liberty Square. And Liberty.
Good.
It's not really a square, but
it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
More of a cul-de-sac.
It's a town square.
It is a town square. Like, but Tony's is in towns. Anyway.
But that's not a square. It's more of a square than Liberty Square.
It's definitely more of a, it's probably a rectangle. Anyway.
Anywho, this is not a geometry podcast.
Don't be obtuse.
Back when the Walt Disney World Railroad was running, when waiting for the train in the Main Street Railroad station, you might hear a telegraph. There is actually a Morse code message. If you have a trained ear, you will realize that this message is reciting Walt Disney's opening day speech at Disneyland from July 17th, 1955.
That was before Marty went back.
I wonder if anyone knows Morse code enough where they could hear that and know that it was Walt Disney's
speech. Long is this line for the train? Right. Hang on.
That's a lot of dots and dashes.
But you know there are some people who are like, hey, what's that sound? Oh, I think that's Walt Disney's speech from the 1997 Disneyland.
I'll say this. I assume this is true. And that's pretty fantastic, actually, on their part for details.
All right, let's head over to Epcot. Will, kick us off.
The Journey into Imagination attraction was dramatically changed from its original version in the late 90s and early 2000s. Sadly, we lost the character of the Dream Finder. There is, however, a minor tribute to him on the attraction. After you go past the first scene and entering the sound testing room, you'll pass a door with the name Dean Finder written on it, which I adore.
Yeah.
I love that. There's also the tennis shoes from the computer who wore tennis shoes in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably more. Oh, the flubber guy. His name's on one of the thing.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, but not him. Whoever
the older one.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's other things too. But
yeah, it would have been better.
What?
Dreamfinder.
Yeah. Then just hanging out.
Yeah, why not?
You want the door to open? And he's just working on something in there.
They could have incorporated. Hello.
Afternoon, folks. Keep it moving.
It's just the door opens and it's a break room and he's smoking.
Would you mind shutting that?
He's working on a Figment animatronic.
I won't break.
He's microwaving fish for 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 years now.
Yeah.
What a jerk. That'd still be better than the skunk spray.
No,
that's not true.
That's not true.
If they can somehow bottle the microwave fish smell, then that shows science has gone too far.
Yeah, that I think that would be considered a biological weapon.
I agree.
Or a chemical weapon.
Against the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, definitely.
Segue that, Michael.
Some people might think Geneva is in Norway, but it's actually in Switzerland. But speaking of Norway, Frozen Ever After replaced Maelstrom at the Norway Pavilion back in 2016. And like the Mr. Toad reference in The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, it's funny, I wrote Winnie the Pooh. There's a reference to the old attraction near the end of the current one. When you're near the end of the attraction in the port of Arendelle with fireworks overhead, you'll find some puffins watching the scene. These are a carryover from Maelstrom, as well as being a reference to Norwegian culture. Hmm. I always look at that and smile because, I don't know, the puffins are so cute.
Yeah, I like a puffin.
Yeah.
There was, when we were in Ireland, there was a puffin island.
Was it full of puffins?
It was full of puffins.
You would think, but no, none there.
Could you get not a one.
Could you get a blueberry puffin?
Are puffins like porgs? Is that what was on that island that they replaced with porgs?
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
I feel like that's right.
It is now.
It is. Sure, whatever.
Also, in the queue to meet Anna and Elsa at the Royal Summerhus, keep an eye on the tapestries on the wall. They feature a few memorable trolls you used to encounter on the attraction. So not the Frozen trolls, the Maelstrom trolls.
Right, fought out trolls.
The scary looking ones.
All right, between France and Morocco pavilions, you'll notice that there's a section of pavement that looks different. This is supposed to symbolize the Straits of Gibraltar, linking the Atlantic Ocean to the Mediterranean Sea. Similarly, when crossing over the bridge between the United Kingdom and France, this is supposed to symbolize the English Channel.
That's neat.
They should make a little tunnel under it. It'd be like the channel.
I don't know if you want to do that in Florida.
Yeah.
They could build it up.
They'd have to.
Yeah.
Why is this weird upside down waterfall here? So you can go under this tunnel.
Oh,
for a small joke.
The timing worked out. Where I don't want to do this.
I don't have to do this one. When writing Living with the Land and you approach the farmhouse scene with the infamous non-moving barking dog, the address on the mailbox in front of the farmhouse has 82 representing Epcot's opening year of 1982. That's nice.
That'd be funny if that it was just a happy accident. They just put 82 on there, but it had no significance.
Some of these might be, which is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no, those shutters are crooked.
Yeah, it's like when you watch, Michael and I, and Will, I think, we all really enjoy the new rock stars. Like, they do breakdowns of most of the Marvel stuff. But really, sometimes that's like, all right, guy. I guess you wanted to get to 10, so... Well, this one is...
If you change it to black and white, what? No.
Oh, in this scene, the street is red. Well, I guess that would probably be something.
That would be probably. The sun is setting, which signifies... Which
clearly means the...
They liked the light at that time. I mean, I don't...
Anyhow.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure has several Easter eggs related to other Pixar movies. While the first half of the France expansion is themed as the real Paris, after passing through the cast iron arcade, you enter Paris as seen in the Pixar film. Animators coined the term crookedology to describe the film's unique style.
Hmm.
You can also spot the unmistakable silhouette of the Pizza Planet truck in the first scene of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure up in one of the windows.
Huh.
The character profile in the wine shop is that of Ego, the food critic. Looking at the wine bottles, the vintages represent the year the movie came out, 2007. The year the ride first opened at Disneyland Paris, 2014, and 2021 for the opening of the ride there at Epcot. From the moment you enter the area, you'll be able to spot little Remy's. The manhole covers, iron railings, park benches, and of course the courtyard's fountain are all adorned with rats. Even the wallpaper as you enter inside the queue is decorated in a rat motif featuring Remy and his brother Emile. You may also spot some rat footprints outside in the cement.
They should get an exterminator.
Probably. Colette. There's mice all over that property, too.
Mm-hmm.
Colette's motorbike and the scooter Skinny steals to chase Remy in the film can be found near the ride's exit. Also, the safety arrows along the unload station look like little cheese.
That's my favorite of all of these, actually.
I need to... Next time we go back, I want to spend some time back there and just kind of look at the scenery and stuff. We went to that restaurant and then went to Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And then we didn't really look around. I went to that bathroom, which is way too small for the area, but didn't really look around all that much.
Yeah.
Take it in.
Mm-hmm. We should do the queue next time too.
Just
to see what's in there.
Yeah. All right. Now headed over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway has a tribute to the previous attraction in the same location, the Great Movie Ride. During the carnival scene, acid drips from you, and if you look up, you could see an alien head and a little mouth.
Yep,
and it goes, "We're on a picnic or whatever." So Sigourney Weaver.
This is Alien.
Now, during the carnival scene, there's a poster for the Great Moving Ride. Uh-huh. And when you're riding alongside the train at the beginning, the train whistle is the exact same one used in the original Steamboat Willie short, the first ever to feature Mickey Mouse.
Michael, when you go back and edit this, my voice is progressively getting deeper on this podcast because I've talked a lot today. I think I did that This Is Alien pretty good.
This is Alien.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd forgotten about that until you said it, but that's what they said. Yeah.
Cool. I bet there's more in there, too, that people haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Like, that seems rife with, like,
little Easter references eggs. And stuff. Yeah.
Especially, there's just so much going on. It's hard to take it all in. In Toy Story Land, the standby entrance wait time sign for Slinky Dog Dash is shaped like a dog collar. This is because it is. And if you look on the back of it, you'll see the name Buster and the address to Andy's house. I love everything in Toy Story Land like that.
So the Fast Pass or the Lightning Lane entrance is shaped like a digital watch, like a Casio digital watch thing has the time. So that's cool too.
Also in Toy Story Land, the entrance to Alien Swirling Saucers is flanked by two large robots. These are the same robots seen at the entrance of Pizza Planet in Toy Story, where the green aliens were first introduced. And like I said, there's like 150 of these things around Toy Story Land, which is awesome.
I had to look at the picture because in my mind, I could not picture the robots at all. Like, I just don't remember them being there at the entrance to the attraction. But
yeah,
they are the same ones.
There's also I think there's footprints too. In there of just random stuff too. I know there is in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
That which is not on this list, but can I say one?
Yeah.
That they used the original R2-D2 model and did track prints through Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's my favorite Easter egg of Galaxy's Edge.
That makes me smile because that means they had to fly the original model of R2-D2 from California to Florida.
Well, they probably made a cast.
I hope they put it in a seat on the plane.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Was he sitting in D2?
Thanks for listening.
At Muppet Vision 3D, as you enter the building.
That was good. I just want you to know that was really good.
Thank you. As you enter the building and head to the pre-show area, you'll see a desk on the side and a sign that says, "Back in 5 minutes, key under the mat." There is a mat right by this desk, and if you lift it up, you'll find a key embedded in the ground. Yep. Also, once you get into the pre-show, you'll spot a net that appears to be full of Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say "a net full of Jell-O" quickly, it's a reference to Annette Funicello, a beloved Masketeer who starred in many Disney feature films and television shows and had a successful recording career with Disney as well. There's also
the original Zac Efron.
I guess so.
Sure.
Or Zendaya. I think she came up in the Mouse Factory.
Why didn't you say Britney Spears?
Oh yeah, Britney Spears.
Christina Aguilera.
Man, Britney Spears.
That's our era.
JT.
That's what I'm saying.
JC.
Don't act like you're younger than you are.
Yeah.
You don't know who Zac Efron is. You've only heard of him.
No, he's our era too.
I don't know. I've never seen anything with Zac Efron in it, actually.
Oh, you should watch The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
That's so good.
Or The Neighbors.
Nope.
Bad Neighbors.
Or whatever.
Or any of the High School Musical, the series. I do want to watch that one because the name is so ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, it's not on this list, but this reminds me when we were trying to get on Rise of Resistance back in October, they had all the overflow queues full. And one of them, they were using the overflow queue for Muppet Vision 3D that's not usually used today because it's not that popular. But there's a bunch of movie posters with the Muppets back then that are all funny, like Easter eggy type mm-hmm. things too.
Yeah.
So
The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror probably has more Easter eggs than any other attraction at Walt Disney World. However, they are mostly about the Twilight Zone television show. So I think
yeah,
it's
there's
just
a ton of them.
Yeah, yeah, just things from different episodes, props mm-hmm. and references and
I've never
Gremlins and such.
I've seen the movie and quite a few of the old episodes on like back when they used to have those marathons and stuff when I used to watch TV that way.
Nick at Night.
But yeah, most of them I don't know, sadly.
Do they have that murder button?
Probably. I don't know.
William Shatner on the plane?
Yeah, he's there. John, at all times. He lives there.
There's a monster on the wing.
There's something on the wing. Some thing. That is my impression of the Family Guy impression of William Shatner in The Twilight Zone. Shall we move over to Disney's Animal Kingdom?
Let's.
There are none there.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. And it's tough to be a bug during the exit spiel when all the creepy crawlies are exiting first. Look at the exit signs and you'll see fireflies flying past as they make their own exit. Oh, really?
Really?
I never noticed that.
Oh.
We'll have to look for that.
Yeah.
I'm always laughing at the little bugs crawling under your butt.
Yeah.
Children screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, when the spiders come down. The Easter egg there is it's so loud you have no idea what's going on in the show anymore. I haven't done that in
so
quite
funny.
Some time.
Yeah. They should give that one a digital update.
Sure. Yes. Maybe they have. I don't know. Shoulder high waist.
Well, when Dinosaur, or Countdown to Extinction as it was originally known, opened in Disney's Animal Kingdom, the sponsor was McDonald's. In the loading area, there are red, white, and yellow pipes with chemical names on them, and the chemical names are the ingredients of ketchup, mayonnaise, and mustard.
That's so neat. I love that.
And they gave out free French fries.
Mm. The dinosaurs?
Yep. And Bill Nye.
When you're going through that last scene, the Carnotaurus just throws up French fries on the edge.
We made it! It sprays French fries all over him.
Delicious. I'm so scared, but this is good.
That's why it broke down so much in the beginning.
Yeah.
All that grease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. In Dinoland USA, you'll find a sign along the paved street that says Route 498. This is a reference to when Disney's Animal Kingdom opened in April 1998. And I think we know somebody who was there.
It's me. I was there. And it smelled weird.
That's true. Yep. That's the only thing I remember about your opening day experience.
Is that it smelled weird?
Yep. It smelled like New Park and fertilizer, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was definitely off-putting, and I'm glad that smell went away.
It's got that new park smell.
I love that the first time I rode Snuggler's Run on that preview day, it did smell like paint in there.
Yeah.
Like, somebody the night before was like,
we gotta get this done.
Make this look more weathered.
Oh no, the sprint's almost over. I'm gonna work late tonight, honey. I didn't plan my time.
In the Tusker House restaurant, if you sit on the back patio of the restaurant, you should be able to hear people upstairs clanking dishes around and doing other cleaning.
Hmm.
And it's not actually the people. It's like a sound.
Okay.
Like, supposedly.
Oh, weird.
All right.
Why?
Because authenticity.
Because theming, Jason.
Seems like an odd theme.
I'm mad at you about that. Why do you even ask that?
And finally, while exiting Flight of Passage on the lowest level, guests can see the handprints of Avatar director James Cameron, producer John Landau, and lead Imagineer Joe Rohde. Another nod to James Cameron is the company logo for JC Shoring with the number 081654 below, which is, of course, his initials, as well as his birthday.
Of course.
Of course.
He's the king of the world.
We can steal his identity now, guys. Let's dox him.
When you said dox, I thought of Doc Brown again. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to watch Back to the Future.
Marty. What?
What?
It's about your kids, Marty.
That was a great one. I wonder if there's anybody that doesn't like Back to the Future.
I'm sure. I'm sure there's people that think it's cringe.
Oh, no. Please don't.
What? No, so you remember when it was definitely you and me, and then I think maybe Carrie, we all went and saw it at Parkway Point when they like re-released it or something. That was the first time that I had ever seen it uncut, not on a TBS or a tape off of TV.
There was a DeLorean in the parking lot.
And it, well, I loved it.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It really does hold up well.
Yeah, like I had been probably kind of, it's a fine movie from my childhood. But when I saw it uncut in the full thing in the theater, loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst thing to happen to movies is edited for TV.
I tell you guys, the worst.
You get the pan and scan.
Oh, I don't care about pan and scan.
No,
the color's all wrong.
Nobody gets pan and scan anymore.
Not anymore, but I used to.
They cut out all the good parts.
They, you know what? To continue my crotchety, some movies are too long. They do a good job editing these.
All right. That is going to be it for this week. If you'd like to check us out online, you can do that at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /tfppodcast. We're on Twitter at @tfp_podcast. If you know of any Easter eggs that we missed, you can email them in to info@tfppodcast.com. You can also subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. We have some pretty awesome t-shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com.
Is the Neapolitan one up yet?
Yep, it is. And we have some exclusive Patreon only content that's available to you if you support the show on patreon.com/tfppodcast. That's all I got. Anything else?
No, I have something else. All three movies of the Back to the Future trilogy are under 2 hours each, as was intended for all movies.
Yeah. Different movies should have lengths that are appropriate to whatever story they're trying to tell.
This one's all about time.
All right, a little bit of housekeeping before we go. There won't be an extra this week due to Easter, so we will see you next week.
Yep.
See you real soon.
Bye. Oh, thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.
Sorry, you kind of stepped on that.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You know, if we get the Neapolitan t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
we should also get a giant spoon and take a picture.
do they sell those with the giant Czech store?
Maybe.
Yeah.
To science. When we said there's no TFP extra, what we meant is you get this solid 2 minutes of garbage about giant spoons. This is Alien.
Can be our Christmas card.
Giant spoon.
Our Neapolitan shirts.
Am I in your Christmas card now?
The podcast Christmas card, not Jason and my Christmas card. We could all be sitting in a giant bowl.
Oh, no, they have one of the teacups at Disney Springs.
There you go.
We can Photoshop it. I didn't do any puns in mine, so somebody come up with something.
Just pepper them in.
I can't. I'm not clever tonight. I'm too tired. I'm reading this, then I'm going to bed.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
Michael was talking about kicking me out of the house because of my bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I'll return.
I thought there was going to be an egg pun. I was kind of hoping for one.
The T-1000 will definitely try to acquire you there. That's an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
It is. That's true.
There will not be an extra this week because, you know, we're getting ready to execute our Easter plans.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, maybe. Let's try that one again.